today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, did you hear the one about the plane that had to return to the airport because the ground crew forgot to unload the baggage? Which nationality of guests are the most demanding in hotels? Details coming up next.
At 3:20, Steve LaRosa is back with us to finish his rock and roll pilgrimage to Southern California, from Venice Beach to the Grammy Museum and the Beach Boys monuments. Come with us on a trip back in time.
Gwen Duncan is here at 3:45 to talk about the importance of double-checking your passport before you start your trip.
And in Save the Best for Last, we'll tell you about the airline that had to make an emergency landing at, of all things, a closed airport because, well, they're running out of fuel. And if you fly Allegiant Airlines from Stockton, you're going to want to be here for the details.
It's 3 p.m. on a Sunday afternoon, and we thank you for tuning in to The Travel Guys.
On the road again, just can't wait to get on the road again.
I'm a traveling man, king of the road,
riding on the city of New Orleans.
Tickets out on the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of The Travel Guys. It's a beautiful Sunday, first part of August. My gosh, not a bad weekend. A little smoky in the air here in California, but all in all, pretty good. Mark, how have you been?
I've been very good, sir. Saw a nice concert put on by the Ukiah Symphony last night outdoors at a winery up in Mendocino County with some sports leisure travelers. So, and on our way back home today as we speak.
We are, by the way, the Travel Guys every Sunday at 3, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And Mark is on one of his trips with his Sports Leisure Vacationers. Mark, tell me, I think we should explain to our audience how this show is going to go today, because we've got you on the road part of the time. I've got Steve LaRosa in the studio with me and so forth. So explain to our folks what they can expect on our radio program today.
Start out, Tom is in the studio in KFBK, and Mark is remote on the phone, and Steve is going to join Tom in the studio here after we get done with the travel news, and they're going to finish the second half of Steve's rock and roll pilgrimage, and then about 3:45, Gwen Duncan is going to show up, and hopefully by that time, I will be right in the radio station there with you. So it's a little strange, but hey, it's a live program, folks, so we are truly live.
And we are the Travel Guys. And as always, as Mark said, we start our program off every week with the travel news. Mark, what do you got for us?
Well, Tom, as we mentioned in the lead-in there, some interesting things happening in the skies this week. But first, this study revealed which hotel guests by nationality are the most demanding. What do you think, Tom? Who do you think is the most demanding?
I'm going to go with Europeans, if we can pick like a general part of the world. How's that for a guess?
Okay, well, it appears as though, at least according to this survey, the Travel Smarts study, courtesy of Agoda.com, analyzed more than 7 million hotel reviews from travelers all over the world on their accommodation site. Apparently, Russians are the most generous reviewers, while travelers from United Arab Emirates are the most demanding. And on an average review scale, it turned out that the Russians indeed were the easiest people to get along with the Irish, the Poles, and the Israelis all having scores well above average. On the other hand, a number of countries from the Arab world and Japan, surprisingly enough, maybe not to folks who travel internationally more than I do, rated the lowest. You American travelers came in with the 10th best score, and they were a couple of tenths of a point above the average. So apparently American travelers are not as bad as some. One survey, kind of an interesting little study there. American Airlines has made a change to their same-day flight change policy. If you are a person who flies American Airlines and you regularly make last-minute changes in your flights, you will find that they will not be quite as easy, quite as unrestricted, or quite as free as they have been in the past. I won't go into great details here, but if you're an American Airlines flyer who regularly makes changes at the last minute, you may want to just kind of check into things before you get ready to fly again. Airfares are going to drop to record lows this fall. That's the headline. That's the great news. The bad news is that they're only about $2 lower than they were at any time last year or the year before, so they will be lower. Airfares are a little bit lower than they have been in the last 3 years. So pretty good news, wouldn't you say, Thomas? If you're hitting the skies, at least the fares are not going up.
Well, that in itself, it's, you know, it's kind of like, well, you know, your cost of living and so forth. It's a plus if it's just not going up. So I'll take that as a positive.
Speaking of American Airlines, I got an offer in by email for those who are, I don't fly too often with American, but I have a frequent flyer card. And they are making an offer to, if you buy miles for other people, why, then they will give you bonus miles. And you're thinking, well, this is a wonderful deal, except that you have to go through four screens before you can find out what the miles cost you. And by the time you get to the point of where they cost you, you're only one click away from buying them. And it be very careful there, once again, American Airlines travelers, because the deal that's being offered you there to buy points for other people is really not a tremendous deal. Governor Cuomo in New York has announced that New York's LaGuardia Airport, referred to by our vice president as a third world country facility, is going to undergo a complete overhaul. There will be a new LaGuardia Airport. The first remade portions of the airport will be open to passengers by 2019. So folks, I'm sure, who fly in and out of LaGuardia will be delighted to hear that the facilities there are getting a redo. A few of the facilities are kind of nice, but most of the terminal at LaGuardia are really not a good facilities for folks to use. An interesting story here about the airline that forgot to unload the baggage. Indeed, this was Ryanair, the discount carrier overseas, which got ready to take off on one of their flights from Dublin, only to find out that the ground crew had not unloaded the baggage or loaded the new baggage, and the plane had to go back to the gate. I wonder how you explain that to the passengers on the airplane. What do you think, Tom?
That's going to be a tough one. My question is this. Now, you know, don't they generally have to remove a certain amount of luggage from one flight to load the luggage for the next flight? So how is it that they didn't notice that they forgot to unload the luggage?
That's what's interesting, is that the plane backed away, and I'm guessing the luggage for the next flight was still sitting on the ground there. Anyway, doesn't really do a whole lot to improve your confidence in the airline itself. A couple of other quick notes here. Hilton Hotels is launching a new brand next year. This one, a mid-scale hotel chain that will aim to serve more value-oriented consumers. Hampton Inn was Hilton's value chain, but Hampton has kind of started to take on more of a mid-range look recently. So Hilton is about to roll out a new brand sometime next year. Alaska Airlines is adding more service from Portland, Oregon to the Midwest, giving people from Sacramento perhaps another way to get to the middle part of the country. Alaska is announcing service to Kansas City, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and Omaha. Of course, Alaska serves Portland from Sacramento four times a day. And that, Thomas, is your travel news for today.
All right, Mark. Now, I just have a quick question for you on your journey that you're on at the moment. Has any of the fires that are in California or any place nearby where you are affected any of your trip?
No. In fact, Tom, up here in the Ukiah area where we left earlier today, many of the firefighters had been sent home. In fact, we stayed in a hotel that had been occupied by firefighters the last couple of days. The air is a lot cleaner up on this side of the valley than it was just a couple of days ago, according to most of the folks around here. And so at least temporarily, there's a little bit of a respite on the west side of the valley.
Well, I took a little trip this past week. We went up to into the Napa, Sonoma area, up and stayed in Calistoga. Of course, the Lake Berryessa fires had been going on up there, and the 2 days that we were there, most of the smoke and fires were more to the east of us. But just as we were leaving, another fire had begun to break out. And so, if you plan to travel in that area, yeah, be advised it may be not quite as clear and picturesque as usual. usual. We are the Travel Guys, and coming up next,
Tom and Steve LaRosa take you to Southern California for the second half of the Rock and Roll Reunion. Steve's going to take you to all kinds of landmarks all over Southern California. That's coming up next, right here on the Travel Guys.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Welcome, everyone. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK. I'm Tom Romano. Mark Hoffman is somewhere on a bus, actually. Brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And as we've been promising you, it's time for Steve LaRosa and the Rock and Roll Pilgrimage. We've been promising this. We missed Steve last week, had a family emergency to take care of. But if you go to travelguysradio.com, you can see and follow along with the pilgrimage. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, last time we actually did the food and drink of the aspect of the tour, but today we're going to really get into the whole meat of the whole tour.
Now, before we launch into it, I want to ask you, how did you come about wanting to do a rock and roll pilgrimage? I've known you for a long time, and I know you're a big-time rock and roller. You love the music. You love the lifestyle.
Well, you were the musician, and we'll get into that a little bit, but I was just the reporter, Tom. You know, it really was a bucket list thing. I said to my buddy Bill Horton, he of the legendary Rutabaga Boogie Band here in Sacramento, I said, Bill, let's do this bucket list trip, rock and roll trip to some of the great locations, some of the sites, some of the museums that deal with rock and roll in the Los Angeles area. So we threw together this trip, and off we went.
Stop number one.
Stop number one actually was the Grammy Museum at LA Live in Los Angeles. And the reason we're using the Supremes there to come see about me, because we went and come and saw about them, actually. And the museum was featuring a tribute to the Supremes on one floor. And they actually had Mary Wilson of the Supremes, who was there a few days before we got there. And they had all this great old stuff. If you ever watch the Ed Sullivan show on Sunday nights, you know, the Supremes were on there at least once a month, it seemed like. And they had a lot of the video of their performances and a lot of their costumes, some of which you would have recognized either from their performances on Ed Sullivan or on the covers of some of their albums.
Now, this particular the stop was, you did this tour independently. You weren't with a tour
right.
company,
just,
like Sports Leisure Vacations.
It's something I threw together. I mean, look at that thing. That's the grid of the week.
Oh, we should have put this on the website. Okay, so stop at the Grammy Museum now. What else did you see?
Well, at the Grammy Museum, they had another floor dedicated entirely to Taylor Swift. And they had a lot of mementos from throughout her life. And then on a different floor, they had a tribute to Tupac Shakur and a lot of his handwritten lyrics and this and that. And then the main floor was it's sort of like a dedication to the history of music. And you could go to this table and hit a genre, a button, and up would pop information about how country, you know, cross-pollinated with rock and blues and how they all kind of spawned each other and cross-pollinated with each other.
Now, this particular tour, you went with a guide once you got to the museum. You have a little a sound clip of someone here that we're going to play.
Yes.
That talks about stuff that's coming up in the museum, right?
Yeah, and this will be big for Mark because I know he's a big fan of a show that they have coming up in the fall.
Well, I can say that we'll have our Frank Sinatra exhibit coming here on October 21st, and that is going to take up this entire second floor, possibly other parts of the museum. It's in New York right now at the New York Public Library. It'll be there, I think, until September 4th. So it's the official exhibit of the Frank Sinatra Centennial. So we've been working very closely with his family, and yeah, we're excited to have that here.
Very awesome. All right, Mark. All of our listeners will be excited about that. I am, for that matter.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty cool. But the thing that I think I love best about the Grammy Museum is mm-hmm. they had the Jimi Hendrix guitar You remember the famous Monterey Pop Festival where Jimmy did what?
He lit his guitar on fire.
He did light his guitar on fire. This, they have the guitar that...
Just, was it just a little pile of ashes?
No, it wasn't that guitar. They had the guitar he used right before he pulled out that Fender and burned it to the ground with the lighter fluid, which basically launched his career. That was a big thing for Jimmy. And the famous story is Pete Townsend said, "We will not go on after Jimi Hendrix." Because they knew how exciting a performer he was.
Yeah, he was definitely a closer.
Yeah.
We are the Travel Guys. Steve LaRosa to my left. We are on a rock and roll pilgrimage to L.A. And let's see. How about our next stop?
Watch the working girls go by.
So why did we choose the Sunset Grill? Well, the Sunset Grill, made famous by Don Henley of the Eagles when he did a solo album. The Sunset Grill is just this little hole in the wall, and it was located right next door to the famous Rock Walk, which is the sidewalk area right in front of the Guitar Center in Los Angeles. You, my friend... Mm-hmm. Would have gone crazy because I have never seen as many electric guitars and acoustic guitars in one place. I mean, every shape, size, and flavor.
Now, did we talk about the Sunset Grill a couple weeks ago as a dining location?
We did.
And didn't you indicate that they have particular sandwiches or burgers that are named after celebrities, or am I thinking of another place?
It was a different place.
Okay.
Yeah. They had a couple of things memorializing Henley, you know, a couple of albums and things on the wall, but it was a big nothing. The Rock Walk, however, all these great, it's like...
The Rock Walk.
Yeah. It's you know, the famous Man's Chinese Theater on Sunset Boulevard,
right,
where they have the
hands in the cement, yeah.
Right.
Once you became a star, I guess.
Big-time showbiz star, yeah.
And this is the same thing, but it's for musicians.
It is. I mean, they had everybody from Cream to Alice Cooper to Van Halen, and they all put their handprints in there. Brian Wilson, the Beach Boys, all these different famous classic and new rock groups. You know, I would say dating back to starting in the 60s. And actually, there was some blues guitarists there, too, that put their hands in the cement.
Didn't see B.B. King's hands by any chance?
I think I was about to say B.B. King. I think his were in there. Buddy Guy definitely was there.
Do you know when that started? When they actually began the Rock Walk?
I do not.
Okay.
No.
So there's probably a lot of people whose hands should be there, but just didn't get the opportunity.
Exactly.
All right. Shall we move on?
However, I'm glad you raised that point because they had like a tribute to John Lennon, even though they couldn't get his handprints. Famous rock and roll artists, they did memorialize them on the wall as opposed to in the cement.
Okay, let's move on down the road. I recognize that song.
If you're going to San Francisco.
Now, not too long ago, we did a bus tour with some Sports Leisure Vacations travelers, and we went to San Francisco, and we relived the summer of 67, the summer of love, and of course that song was a major, major part of it, and you went to a particular
By the way, San Francisco, do you remember who wrote that particular song? A little trivia there.
Well, you know Scott McKenzie was the artist.
You
but
are correct,
was not the writer.
The writer was actually John Phillips.
Really, John Phillips with the Mamas and the Papas.
You are correct, sir.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so on your tour, you visited a place that has a lot to do with someone who was very famous in San Francisco. In fact, we passed his famous Fillmore Auditorium, and that was the...
Bill Graham. The Screwball Cultural Center, that's the Screwball Cultural Center in Los Angeles.
I thought you said screwball there for a second.
I know. People, when they hear me say that, they always say that. But
Skirball
and
Cultural Center.
Yeah, and they did an exhibition dedicated entirely to Bill Graham. if I'm not mistaken, his heirs and some people who worked with Graham helped put together this exhibition. And if you were into the San Francisco scene or Bill Graham, the famous promoter from the Fillmore West and East, and did a lot of the big name tours from the Rolling Stones to George Harrison, they had a lot of memorabilia from there. In fact, we were talking about the Monterey Pop Festival. They had the famous tunic that Grace Slick wore on stage there. They had a guitar that Pete Townsend of The Who, one of his famous after-the-show guitars, you can imagine.
Right, yep.
What was left of that. You know, he was famous for trashing his guitars. And a lot of great pictures, everything from Quicksilver to The Grateful Dead to the Jefferson Airplane. And just a spectacular picture of Bill Graham sitting on stage at Woodstock. One of the things, they asked Bill Graham to be involved at Woodstock, and he said, okay, I'll do it, but you got to put my band on stage. And the band was sponsoring was Santana.
Oh, my.
And so there's this great picture of Santana on stage. You can see the crowd, 500,000 people in the background, and there's Bill Graham sitting behind a stack of amplifiers with a cowbell, just banging it with Santana.
Played a little cowbell.
Yeah.
Well, we always need more cowbell. We're talking with Steve LaRosa, his rock and roll pilgrimage to Southern California, where, of course, a lot of rock and roll began. Some of that trickled up to Northern California, to say the least. In fact, speaking of Bill Graham, there used to be an amphitheater out at the California State Fair that was somewhat sponsored by Bill Graham for a number of years,
yeah.
Which I think right now houses the soccer team, if I'm not mistaken. Coming up after the news, we're going to go... we've got a super groupie tour that we're going to talk about, the Beach Boy Museum, and one of Mark Hoffman's favorite places.
The Groundlings.
Yes. That's right here with the Travel Guys on KFBK. Don't go away.
On the road again.
We're on the road again. We're the Travel Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano. Mark Hoffman is somewhere between here and there. And Steve LaRosa is on my left. We're doing the rock and roll pilgrimage. Visit TravelGuysRadio.com to follow along. Steve, how you doing?
Doing great. I hope that there are folks out there that grew up in the same era that we do that have a love for the music and the whole history of rock and roll.
I'm sure they do, and if they don't, they have kids that do or friends. I mean, everybody. It's kind of interesting how things have changed. Back in... when we were somewhat younger, the Sinatras and the Barbra Streisands and what was considered middle of the road, and you know, prior to that, the Sinatras and so forth was the music of the adults. And curiously enough, you know, Mark has been taking people on tours for many, many years, and he would take folks to see these artists at different locations all over the state and over into the Bay Area, the Silver Star Theater or whatever it is. Now we're going to be taking that senior generation to see the Grateful Dead and Jimi Hendrix if he were alive. But the Rolling Stones, I mean, the Rolling Stones are like 70 years old, and they're the epitome of rock and roll. Most of the artists that you're talking about that you saw on this tour certainly exceed the age of 60. And I thought it was fascinating when we talked earlier about the Grammy Museum and that they've covered the entire spectrum from the classic rock and roll artists of the past, and they're bringing in Sinatra, and yet you said they had an exhibit dedicated to, of all things, Taylor Swift, who is just great. And not only is she a great artist, but she does tremendous things for her fans, and is a philanthropist to no end. Okay, you ready to hit the road some more?
Let's do it. And you may be wondering why we chose this one.
Okay, and why did we choose this one?
Listen to the lyrics.
Okay, here we go. Yeah.
We actually visited the Hamburger Stand now. we headed to the south section of Los Angeles to a small town called Hawthorne,
mm-hmm.
where the Beach Boys actually grew up, and the city fathers created a monument in their memory. And it's a great little, small little thing. It's right on the edge. They actually tore down the family house to put in a freeway. And this is located right next to the freeway. You see the cars are right up the little hill behind it. And it depicts that famous scene on their Surfer Girl album where they're all five carrying the surfboard.
Now, in the Beach Boys, for those that may not remember or didn't know in the first place, there were brothers and cousins that made up the Beach Boys. So you had Brian,
Dennis, Carl, mm-hmm. Wilson, and cousin Mike Love.
And so when you're talking about they had to tear down the family house, this would have been the Wilson's family house to make room for a freeway?
Exactly. And it's funny, I shouldn't tell you the last scene in a particular movie, but... that is depicted in that movie, Love and Mercy, which just came out, the story of Brian Wilson. Anyway, they had that monument, but we also went around the corner down the street. They had a Foster Freeze featured in She Got Her Daddy's Car and She Cruised to the Hamburger Stand. Now, that's still there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and if you want to go to the heights of geekdom, I actually brought my reissue Pendleton shirt and wore it, got a picture standing in front of the Beach Boys monument.
Awesome, awesome. Well, we done with the Beach Boys monument?
We are.
Okay, let's bring on travel guy number one, Mark Hoffman, Sports Leisure Vacations, has arrived from the dusty road. Welcome back, Mark.
That's it, from the smoke-filled air. Hi, I'm just enjoying listening to you guys on the way across town, and I missed a little segment there on my way up in the elevator. You haven't talked about the groundlings yet, have you?
Saved that.
Waited for you.
Well, bless your heart. Well, go on. Don't let me get in the way here.
Okay, well, we're gonna knock out one more, and then we're going to do groundlings, and that's going to be a lot of fun. So let's fire... Wait a minute. Hold, before you play this song... Tell folks what the relevance of the tune we're going to play leading into the Super Groupie Tour.
Well, Pamela DeBar...
In the most sensitive way that you can for the young and the young that are listening.
Pamela DeBar does this tour, and she is the Super Groupie. She was the first one. She wrote a number of books. Her first one was I'm with the Band, which she talks about her... liaisons with many of the rock and roll stars of that era. And this particular song is by The Doors, and it's called Love Street, which, there it is. She actually lived upstairs from Morrison on Love Street.
She lives on Love Street, lingers long on Love Street. There's the store where the creatures meet.
Okay, let's hear the Love Street.
Well, the interesting thing about Love Street, it's mm-hmm. actually a small little street called Love Street. Now, it's directly behind the famous Laurel Canyon Country Store. Why is that place famous? Because everybody from Dave Crosby, from Crosby, Stills, and Nash, to Joni Mitchell, to the guys from the Byrds, the Burrito Brothers, all these rock stars... gravitated up to Laurel Canyon where they lived, and there was a small country store. Right behind it is a street called Love Street. Well, there's this flat there, kind of a small apartment building. One day, Pamela DeBar, who's the super groupie who took us on this tour, she heard this music coming from this flat downstairs, and she was very curious. She went down there, peeked her head in. There's Jim Morrison playing the first acetate of The Doors' first album. She went in. She started, flirting with Morrison till Morrison's girlfriend said, "It's time for you to leave."
And it sounded just like that, I want you to know.
And so she left. She went back up to her place upstairs. About 5 minutes later, here comes Jim Morrison. And that was the beginning of their...
relationship.
Bingo!
Okay, you have some sound bites that you actually got of Pamela while on the tour. This first one is relative to her meeting one of the members of the Byrds, correct?
Correct.
I wanted to meet them. So they were playing Ciro's. I was too young to get in. So the backstage door faces the strip. It still does. I'll point it out later. And I just knocked on it. And the door swung open. It was Jim McGuinn, Roger later. He said, come on in. And that's how I met the Byrds. And that was, that's how easy it was.
Sorry, I turned your mic off.
He's back.
Okay.
We also, she did a lot of stops where she said, this famous thing happened, that famous thing happened, and here's another cut.
Yeah, everybody hung out right there by the pool. Hendrix was here. Janis Joplin died in the room two doors down. We just passed it.
And we have another one, another clip from the tour.
This is where Alice Cooper's band lived. I had a crush on Neil Smith, the drummer. And we are still really good friends today. He's a very good real estate agent in Connecticut.
And this last one here is about her strange visit with Tiny Tim, who had a proclivity. He'd take about 10 showers a day. And so he had this little secret that he revealed to them because he liked them.
I have a secret, he said, and led us to a small kitchen drawer where he lifted up the silverware to reveal many, many candy bars. My manager thinks I'm getting chubby, but I'm just pleasingly plump. We were very moved that he trusted us with his secret and promised him we wouldn't tell a soul. I guess enough years have passed so that I'm not betraying his confidence.
And that she would tell anecdotes, you know, like meeting all these rock stars everywhere, everybody from Mick Jagger to Jimmy Page, from Led Zeppelin to Keith Moon. And she tells a great story where Keith Moon and her were staying at this hotel, and they were about on the 10th floor. He goes, Pamela, go stand out on the balcony. She goes, why? He goes, just go stand out on the balcony. She's standing down there. She looks down 10 floors. Here's Keith Moon running across the parking lot at the front of the hotel. He takes a box of Tide and dumps it into the fountain. And she said there was soap suds for a block. It stopped traffic, the whole thing.
Well, okay, well, let's move on. There we go. On our rock and roll pilgrimage, our next stop, Steve.
Well, we went to actually the Groundlings. We had a night off, so we went to the Groundlings. It's a famous comedy improvisational group in Los Angeles. And on Thursday nights, a little secret, a lot of people don't know this, but famous graduates of the Groundlings come back to work out some of their stuff. The night we were there, it was Mike McDonald, who used to be on Mad TV, and Mindy Sterling, who was Dr. Evil's wife in the Austin Powers movies. Very funny.
Probably half the modern comedians of the modern era have been people who honed their craft at the Groundlings. And going, one of the best kept secrets in Southern California is that going to a Groundlings performance, like you said, there are fringe performances, there's brand new people, there's old people, there's people that are in their current cast. It's kind of like going to a performance of Saturday Night Live, and the theater only holds, what, maybe 150 people, something like that?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It really is a very intimate sort of setting, and highly recommended if you're going to Hollywood on a weekend, go to see the Groundlings for sure.
And I got to say, improv, you know, I'm so on improv, but this was very, very funny.
I'm very excited to be here. I think your pollution is not nearly as horrible as people say. Your people are not nearly as pushy as I thought.
Thank you.
There are a lot of things about your country that are not as horrible as everyone else says.
Thank you so much. That's very nice of you to say that.
Of course, that was the famous Mike McDonald from Mad TV. He was portraying a guy, an author who went to China because he was on a low budget, and he was doing a narrative of the book he had just written.
Now you have another soundbite.
Yeah, we do.
It's a romance with financial exchange.
Okay. Need a bit of Wall Street, need a bit of Love Street.
There you go.
And odd that he should mention Love Street.
Well, Steve, we had a great time on your rock and roll pilgrimage.
Thank you.
There's a lot of great stuff down there that if you just have listened today, you could put together your own rock and roll pilgrimage. There's probably a few places that you've left out. Heck, you could go down the rock and you could walk down the Hollywood Walk of Fame and create a rock and roll pilgrimage in a two block space, just about.
Oh, absolutely. We walked right over Jimi Hendrix's star. It was down the street from where we were staying.
Unbelievable. Thank you, Steve, for all of that effort and all of that work, and a blast from the past, probably not only for the three of us sitting here, but for a lot of people listening on the air, including the lead guitarist over there, Mr. Romano. Mr.
Hey,
Romano.
I tell you, when you start making this a regular tour, I'm in. I will pay to go.
This guy opened for the Doors, ladies and gentlemen. True story. Mr. Tom Romano opened for the Doors.
All right, folks, we got still some stuff to go here. We got Gwen Duncan calling in. She's got a passport update, and we need to tell you about that airline that landed at the airport that was closed. It's really kind of a complicated situation, and if you fly Allegiant Airlines from Stockton, don't miss this story.
Next on The Travel Guys.
If you ever plan to motor west.
Oh, Mark, I got a new hat.
Yeah?
It's a Route 66 hat.
Really?
You're going to be so jealous. Yeah, we have our shirts, but wait till you see the hat.
Yeah?
We are the Travel Guys on KFBK. Just finished our rock and roll pilgrimage with Steve LaRosa. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark just got back from Ukiah.
Ukiah. Not saw Ukiah. A performance of the Ukiah Symphony last mm-hmm. night. And for a small town symphony, people in Sacramento, we have our challenges with, you know, trying to support a symphony here. Those folks, a nice little symphony, great performance. Nelson Family Vineyards. Gosh, it was a lot of fun.
Awesome.
What a great little, a concert in a winery. Lots of wineries do these sorts of things in the summertime and stuff. Is just a spectacular thing. So we had a really good time. I will tell you, though, that if you're expecting anybody home or to any place in Northern California, the traffic is just awful everywhere. Napa Valley, Sonoma Valley, Highway 80, 101, everything. Everybody is going someplace today, and nobody's getting anywhere quickly.
Well, I'm glad you made it in to take a couple of minutes and visit with us. And we got
kind
somebody
of a guest
on the
appearance.
Line.
Yeah, Gwen. We do. Gwen Duncan is joining us. Gwen, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Welcome. Thank you.
Hey,
thank you.
You've got a passport update for us. And this is some really important stuff here, because when people go traveling, it's not only important that your passport hasn't expired, but there's an asterisk to that. Tell us about it, Gwen.
Yes, to travel internationally, your passport has to be valid 6 months, generally, 6 months from the date of your departure. Now, that's some of them are 3 months, but most of the countries will require 6 months. And so a lot of people don't recognize that even though it looks like it's valid, it'll be good here in the United States as an ID, but to go out of the country, it has to be within 6 months, down to the day. We're not talking about, just rounded off months. It's down to the day, 6 months.
Now, are they going to stop you from leaving the country, or are you going to have problems coming back? Where is that going to hurt you?
At the airport, when you go to board and you're going to go to a foreign country, and you're checking in, they're going to check about the validity of your passport. And I have seen this happen where people were turned away, right in front of me, turned away, couldn't board. And there's a family whose kid was a five years old, and they neglected to look to see that it needed to be. They had to change their entire vacation. They went in and did what we call an expedited passport there in San Francisco. We can do that.
Let me ask you about that, Gwen. If you find out, if it's a day before you're getting ready to leave, and suddenly you find out your passport isn't valid for the right length of time, or let's say it's a week before you leave, is there a way to get an expedited passport?
Absolutely. It does cost something, but you have to be traveling within the 2 weeks to get that appointment, and it's highly recommended you get an appointment. And then you go into the passport agency. It's between 2nd and 3rd Street in San Francisco, near the Moscone Center. I'm going to have this all on my website.
Okay.
But you have to check in early, because there's no guarantee you'll get it that same day. If you get there too late, then you go through one line. You have to go through security. Don't wear a lot of belts and crap like that, and have all your papers completed before you go. And you have to make sure everything's in black ink, and you have to be sure you don't sign the application until you're before somebody there at the office.
Oh, my goodness.
Have all at them. But you get there, you stand in line, a long line, you stand for a long time, and then they're going to give you give them their documents, they approve it. And then they will give you another time to go back and pick up your application. And if you get there early enough in the day, you will get it that same day.
Now, Gwen, let me ask you one more quick question here. If I'm going to Canada or Mexico, those are very friendly countries. I know you used to be able to get into Canada with just a driver's license. Is that still true?
No. You need a passport if you're driving or flying into Canada. And if you're taking a cruise, you don't. Odd enough, if you're taking a round trip from a U.S. port like Seattle or from San Francisco, you don't need one when you're traveling by sea. But by air or by car, you need a passport. Now, you can get a passport card if you're just going to Mexico or Canada.
Now, if you're going on a cruise overseas, though, that's not from the United States, then you do need a passport for
Absolutely.
Sure. Gwen Duncan, cordially yours, traveler. Cordially yours, travel. There will be
been on the road too long.
Yeah, just a little bit too long.
I'm going to have all this information on my website so people can be able to see what they have to do to be prepared for an expedited.
And people can find your website at?
GoCYTravel.com.
Thank you, Gwen. Talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Okay, talk to you later.
Gwen Bye-bye. Duncan on the phone with us. I want to make sure we had a minute here to talk about this airline story that we've teased a couple times during the day here.
Make it so.
Airplane takes off from Las Vegas, headed for Fargo, North Dakota. Mm-hmm. It is known that the Fargo airport is closed for an air show that day. It's been common knowledge for quite some time. Plane gets almost to Fargo. This is an Allegiant airline, by the way. Gets almost to Fargo.
Everybody knew it but them.
Calls the Fargo Tower and says, hey, we need to land. And the Fargo Tower says, hey, we're closed for an air show. You got to go to Minot, which is 65 miles up the road. And the Fargo guy and the airline guy says, Allegiant guy says, we don't have enough fuel to get 65 miles up the road. Now, what you need to know is that legally, they're supposed to take on enough extra fuel to divert to whatever their diversion airport is in case of an emergency, which in this case would have been Minot. They didn't have that fuel. The guy had to tell them, here's a clip from it. The tower says there'll be a window opening in about 20 minutes for a landing. Flight 426, yeah, but I don't have 20 minutes. Fargo Tower, Roger, unless there's an emergency, there's the Grand Forks Airport, which is 70 miles away. Flight 426 says, yeah, listen, we're at Bingo Fuel here in about 3 to 4 minutes. I've got to come in and land. Bingo Fuel is a military slang term meaning running on empty.
Wow.
So they had to close the airport
and
let the airplane land. That's Allegiant Air. They fly from Stockton. That's all I want to tell you folks is you're flying on an airline that doesn't check to make sure that the airport that they're going to is open. And if that's not saved the best for last, I don't know what is. We need to have a winner here, a Sports Leisure Vacations winner. We have a $100 travel card. If Wade Youngst, Younst, Wade Youngst, Wade is the way he spells his first name. There's a $100 travel card waiting for you if you call Sports Leisure Vacations before Tuesday at closing time. And thank you for traveling with us. You guys had a great show today.
Thank you.
We had fun.
Thank you for including me the last couple of minutes here. I appreciate it.
Thank you for showing up for the last
Just
couple of minutes.
Just flew in.
No, I didn't mean it like that.
He flew in right before he ran out of fuel himself.
Yeah. Well,
what was that term again?
Bingo fuel.
I've been on bingo fuel. My wife says, why do you do that?
Yeah.
Put some gas in the car.
Yeah, believe it or not, coming up here from Land Park, having gotten off the coach to come over here to the radio station, I had to make a stop because I was on
bingo fuel. We are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, and our special guest, Steve LaRosa. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week at 3 o'clock. Stay well.